This is VOA's Plugged In Podcast.
On Plugged In, the college bribery scandal. How some families are using their wealth and their influence to give their kids a competitive edge. Is it fair? 50 people have now been charged in the college admission scandal that exposes the inequalities in our system of higher learning. What does it cost to get into an Ivy League school? Is the selling of admission or cheating for admission hurting the American dream? And is anyone doing anything about it? Welcome to Plugged In. I am Greta Van Susteren. There is a phrase in the U.S. Constitution that all men are created equal. But when it comes to our students, it seems not all are equal, at least not in the eyes of our most prestigious universities. As many of us found out recently, if you are in the market for a good school, it helps to be rich and famous. This was a big story for our college interns here at Plugged In, and they wanted us to do a special episode on it. We agreed, and we asked them to dig deeper. Here is the first of a series of reports by VOA's interns on the college admissions process and the scandal that many are talking about. VOA intern Cecilia Markley has more.
Yale, Georgetown University, and University of Southern California are among the elite colleges at the center of the recent college admissions scandal involving parents and university officials.
We've charged 50 people nationwide with participating in a conspiracy that involved, first, cheating on college entrance exams, meaning the SAT and the ACT.
The charges include money laundering, fraud, and obstruction of justice.
These parents are a catalog of wealth and privilege. They include, for example, CEOs of private and public companies, successful securities and real estate investors, two well-known actresses, a famous fashion designer, and the co-chairman of a global law firm.
Among them, Hollywood celebrities Lori Loughlin, who played Aunt Becky in the television sitcom Full House, and Felicity Huffman, who has won numerous awards for her role on Desperate Housewives. They're accused of bribing coaches and college administrators, who allegedly used fake charities to funnel money in exchange for helping their children gain admission to the nation's most prestigious schools. Some students say the scandal reinforces the notion that nothing is sacred and that anything can be bought.
I think it's really sad when you see someone of, you know, higher privileged people getting their way around easier, because again, that reinforces the idea of, oh, if you do not have the same money as I do, at the end, I have more leeway than you do.
Some students say the scandal exposes the deep inequalities in the system and cheapens not just their own accomplishments, but also the standing of the universities caught up in the dragnet.
Obviously don't condone it. I think it's terrible and sad, but I'm not surprised about it. And I think that that's something that happens a lot. And like now it's come to the forefront. And I think it's time that people stand up and say, well, we've had enough, and we start making it fair.
A total of 13 parents, including Huffman, have pleaded guilty to the charges. But others, including Loughlin and her husband, who paid $500,000 to have their daughters accepted into the University of Southern California, plan to fight the charges in court. Each of the charges they face is punishable by up to 20 years in prison. Cecilia Markley, VOA News, Washington.
This scandal has implicated dozens of individuals in eight elite universities. It has also captured the attention of audiences around the globe. But what are its broader implications? And what does it mean for America's higher education system? To answer some of these questions, we are joined on set by VOA Student Union Managing Editor Kathleen Struck. Welcome. Nice to see you, Kathleen.
Thanks.
First of all, what is the Student Union here at VOA?
Student Union is an online community run by VOA for international students who want to come to school here or who are here. So we talk a lot about issues on campus, how to come to the United States, all those things that international students are interested in, as well as what's going on campus.
All right, it's pretty shocking, this scandal. I mean, people thought that the rich and the wealth and the rich and the famous were getting into schools, but how extensive is this?
So it is shocking on a public level. This is something that people don't talk so much about, which is why we're doing this. The Department of Justice last month arrested 50 people on various charges like fraud and wire charges for paying officials at colleges to and paying for test proctors, that kind of thing, to have tests taken for their children, to have their scores fixed, to get their kids into elite universities, even though they didn't deserve to go to those universities.
All right. Well, it's fair to say there are a lot of rich and famous whose children fairly got into universities, right? So it's not just them, but that there's a subcategory of people who were cheating the system, who are committing a crime.
Right. Well, that's what the Department of Justice says, is that they were committing crimes because they were going to coaches and they were using a middleman and saying, well, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars to have my kids' test fixed. SATs, ACTs, that's a big deal for students all around the world. So, and kids sweat it. They go to tutors. They're anxious about it. You know, some kids just go crazy about it. Here, these kids were so privileged that they got people to take that test for them to guarantee they would get a very high score.
All right. What are the universities saying, the colleges, the ones that are implicated? They say, we had no idea?
The Department of Justice has said that the universities were victims in this case. That's what they said at first, because the universities allegedly did not know about this. But now there are more investigations to see, okay, let's just make sure that the universities were not part of it. But right now, the DOJ is saying, no, the universities didn't know what was going on.
What's the broader implication of all this?
Well, the broader implication is that the United States likes to think that, you know, we're better than this. It's people can come from all around the world to the United States. If you work hard and do well, you can have that golden dream, right? Well, here, it seems like you can pay, if you can pay to get yourself into school, then that kind of cancels out spaces for kids who otherwise might have done really well but don't have the same resources.
All right, we have three different types of colleges or universities in the country. We have the public ones. We have the private, we have the nonprofit, and we have the for-profit. And is this scandal hit all three of those categories?
No, this scandal has hit a handful of schools: Georgetown, Yale, USC. USC is kind of a popular one because there are two very high-profile parents, families in this case, who are famous actors. So they wanted their kids to go to USC, which is a famous film school. And they paid tens of thousands of dollars to have someone take tests to say that their kids were really good at lacrosse or crew or something like that, when in fact they had never played that sport.
You know, it's just astounding, though. It's not just a person trying to use influence to help his kid. This is actually dishonest, where a kid gets in to play a sport the kid has never played, or has someone else take an exam and didn't take the exam. I mean, it doesn't get any plainer than this.
Right. In one instance, it wasn't just that, you know, well, how do you get someone to take the test for you? Well, you have to go through a process where you say, well, my child will be too stressed out if they have to sit with all those other kids and take this test. So I need a special accommodation, I need a private room, and I need to be able to take the test over 2 or 3 days.
But didn't they see when the student didn't show up in the room that someone who, you know, 30 years old, who's more experienced, shows up to take the test? I mean, didn't the testing organization have a clue with that?
The 30-year-old is the person who is also involved in this case. There's one person who took the test who, you know, knows the ACT and the SAT backwards and forwards, and he was part of this scandal and has been indicted.
So the students who are part of this, whose parents did this, have they been kicked out of these schools, or are they still enrolled?
So we don't know who all the students are because of privacy. Some kids are already in school, and some schools have asked those students to leave. Some students have had their admissions reneged. And there's an investigation going on to see, did the kids know about it, or did the parents just do this because they wanted so much for their kid to go to a prestigious school that they did it without the kid knowing?
Hard for the kid wouldn't know if the kid is there getting in for playing a sport he never played.
Yeah.
That's sort of a dead tip-off. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Well, there's no question wealth and power can improve your chances of getting into a good school. In fact, college applicants have been using their family's wealth and privilege for decades to gain admission to the nation's best schools. And there are a number of ways it can be done without breaking any laws. Here's more from VOA intern Allison O'Reilly.
He's a rap legend and a famous music producer, but Andre Rommel Young, Dr. Dre to his fans, is also a parent. His daughter, Truly, was recently accepted to the University of Southern California. The rap star says his daughter did it on her own, but some wonder if she would have been accepted to the elite university if Dre and a fellow music producer had not donated $70 million to build a new campus wing. His daughter may have gained an advantage, but as rap stars say, it was totally legit. As are legacy admissions. That's when a student gains admission to an elite university because their parents attended the same school. A recent study found legacy students were accepted to Harvard University at 6 times the rate of non-legacy students. Again, perfectly legal. But is it fair to a student who may be the first in their family to attend college? Another legal way to get into a good school is to raise your academic scores. Standardized tests such as the SAT and the ACT are a requirement at most colleges, and students who struggle with their grades often need tutors to raise their score. But that can cost a lot of money, money that a student working part-time to pay for tuition may not be able to afford. But some, like University of Maryland junior Brittany Williams, say tutors are not for everyone.
So I got ACT tutoring for about 9 months with my twin sister Courtney. We had weekly sessions which cost around $125 per session, and my score went from a 25 to a 27.
Private counseling and hiring admissions coaches is another way students can boost their chances. Top Tier Admissions, an education consulting firm, has hundreds of testimonials from students who were accepted by Ivy League colleges after using their services. But that kind of help comes with a high price tag, as much as $18,000 to attend a 4-day college application boot camp. Wealth does come with privilege. A recent study shows that at Yale and Princeton, two of the nation's top universities, about 70% of students belong to the wealthiest families in America, while only 2% came from lower-income families. Dr. Dre is not the only rich parent who has donated to his child's university of choice. Jared Kushner, senior advisor and son-in-law to President Donald Trump, attended Harvard, even though one official from his high school says his test scores were below Harvard standards. He applied to the college in 1998, and that same year, his father donated $2.5 million to the renowned Ivy League school. Allison O'Reilly for VOA News.
For the privileged using alternative methods to gain admission into the elite universities, that's nothing new. And it is a topic that our next guest has written extensively about. Joining me via Skype from Boston is ProPublica senior editor Daniel Golden. He's a 2-time Pulitzer Prize winner and author of the book, The Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. Nice to see you, sir.
Thanks. Nice of you to have me.
All right. That book was written when?
It came out in 2006, but it was written basically in 2003 and 4.
And how current is it today?
Well, it's more relevant than ever today because a lot of the problems I wrote about have only gotten worse, which this scandal signifies. I mean, I first described the Kushner case in my book. Now that $2.5 million that the parents gave to get him into Harvard seems piddling compared to some of the amounts we're hearing about. At the time I wrote my book, Harvard accepted 10% of its applicants. Now it takes 4 or 5%, so parents are even more desperate. The University of Southern California, which, as was mentioned, is one of the key schools in this bribery case, when I wrote my book, they probably admitted, 35% of their applicants. Now they admit 13%. So as these colleges become ever more selective, the parents get ever more anxious. And, we have a lot of income inequality in this country, more than we did when I wrote my book. So there's an awful lot of billionaires out there who are worried about getting their kids into top colleges and will give a lot of money.
Is there a difference in your mind, because frankly there's a difference in my mind, between a public university that the taxpayers fund and giving special treatment to people, and a private university giving special treatment to whether someone's a legacy or someone has donated a building or funded a chair for a professor? It seems to me those are two different categories. Are they in your mind?
Well, they're somewhat different, but I wouldn't say totally different, because remember, these private schools are nonprofits. That means they don't pay taxes, and that you and I and all the other taxpayers subsidize them. And the reason we do that is because they're supposed to be serving a public good, and that public good, among other things, is to find the students of greatest achievement or potential, particularly from low-income backgrounds, and help them rise in society and achieve the American dream. And they're therefore failing in the mission that we subsidize them to provide.
Well, the student loan, according to one statistic I read today, that the student loan debt in this country is $1.57 trillion, up from $676 billion about 10 years ago. Why has that ballooned? Is there no fiscal responsibility from these colleges to keep these costs down, or is there some other explanation?
Well, a lot of the student loan problem has to do disproportionately with for-profit colleges, which, of course, are less regulated than ever under the Trump administration. And for-profit colleges generally peg their tuition to the highest amount of loans that a student can get from the federal government. And because not very many people would be willing to pay out of pocket to go to a for-profit college because their quality is not considered as high or their reputations are not as high. So for the last statistics I saw, you know, for-profit colleges accounted for maybe, you know, 5 to 10% of enrollment in the U.S., but, you know, more than the quarter, maybe as much as two-fifths of the student loan problem.
Is there any limit to how much a student can borrow? Because I would assume that, I mean, I'm just sort of thinking about this. If a student can borrow unlimited amount of money and the university sees that, the university might be less fiscally responsible than if it's worried about the students making the tuition, if they're unable to get the money.
No, there's limits on how much they can borrow under the federal programs. Now, of course, they could get a private loan, you know, presumably, but that would likely be at a higher interest rate and more onerous terms. But yes, the federal government limits how much a student can borrow.
What's your view on the legacy admission, getting sort of a leg up, a legacy admission, or someone who's contributed to a college for a long time? I assume that the cheating and the false tests, you put that in a separate category.
Yeah, well, I would consider legacy admissions to be something that should have been abolished long ago. I mean, its aim is essentially to perpetuate an aristocracy of rich people, and it's you know, designed for fundraising, and so it gives a preference to predominantly white affluent applicants. And it's really, you know, hard to condone in a democratic society, and it's a very significant advantage of admissions.
But
on the test.
Can I just ask a quick question? If I had a child going to college right now, I'd be proud to have that child go to my college. I mean, there's sort of the college spirit. Do you account for that at all?
Well, I think, you know, you should be proud to have a child go to your school, but it would be nice if they earned their way in on their own merit rather than because they happen to be born into a family with a connection to that school.
It makes a difference to you whether it's, I mean, or rather, it makes apparently a bigger difference to me whether it's public or profit or nonprofit. To you, you would not do legacy. I wouldn't do necessarily legacy. I wouldn't do legacy in public universities, but the other ones I would think twice about.
I'd abolish it at both places. Like I said, not the private nonprofit colleges are essentially receive huge amounts of public support through a tax break. And so there's not as big a difference as some might see. And legacy admissions adds up to, you know, often at these schools, 10 to 25% of the students. You know, Notre Dame's around 25%. You know, the Ivy League is in the 10 to 20% range. And so for every slot that they're taking up, you know, because it's a zero-sum game, these schools don't, you know, grow a lot. You know, they're taking a slot away from somebody who might be equally or more deserving from a lower income, disadvantaged background and just didn't happen to be born into a family where a parent's an alum.
Well, you know, if a school, you convinced me of one thing. I didn't realize that the nonprofits were getting all these tax benefits. I hadn't thought it through, but you've convinced me of that since they're getting all these tax breaks. The purely private, I might disagree with you on some of these points, but you know, you've convinced me on that one since they're getting something from the taxpayers. Anyway, sir, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck with the reprint of your book.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Despite the recent college admission scandal, the U.S. remains the top destination for international students. More than 1 million foreign students are currently enrolled in U.S. universities. And according to the 2018 Open Doors report, the University of Southern California, which was implicated in the scandal, is among the most popular. But given the high cost of attending such elite schools, some wonder if the cost is worth the payback. VOA intern Angelie Tillett spoke to college students and filed this report.
The college admission scandal has some students wondering if their choice of university might have a bigger impact on their future than their degrees. Esther Jensen, a third-year student at American University, says going to a more prestigious college might just give her the competitive edge when it's time for her to enter the job market.
I think where you go definitely does matter because of the network and opportunities you might get.
But how you end up in your college of choice matters. Some say students of wealthy parents have a distinct advantage. They cite students like Olivia Jade, a well-known social media influencer with more than 1 million followers. She's a student at the University of Southern California and the daughter of American TV star Lori Loughlin and fashion designer Mossimo Giannulli. Both face criminal charges for allegedly bribing college officials to help their daughter gain admission to the prestigious university. Students we spoke with say they feel cheated by a system that gives the wealthy the upper hand.
I think we're all deserving of an education, and the ways of how we get there are obviously really different. And so I think it's really discouraging when you hear that, oh, well, it was a legacy child, or all my parents just donated money, because we all can't do that. And it really just sets the bar to be a little bit lower for those who have worked really hard.
But other students have taken the scandal as a compliment to the prestige of their school.
Some of my friends almost felt honored that people wanted to try and cheat to get into the school.
Those who can afford the high cost of an Ivy League education may well agree. But those who can't wonder if a system that gives those who already have power and wealth greater advantages is ultimately worth the high price of admissions. Anjali Tillette, VOA News, Washington.
The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics identifies 174 occupations as typically requiring a bachelor's degree for entry. Employment in these bachelor's-level occupations is projected to grow 10% by 2026. Now, that's faster than the 7% average projected for all occupations. Given this trend, what is the value of a degree? And do graduates of prestigious universities stand out to employers? Joining me to discuss these questions and more is Paul McDonald, Senior Executive Director at Robert Half Global Human Resources Firm. He has more than 30 years of experience in recruiting. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So we're in 2019. How important is a college degree in this country?
College degree right now, with unemployment broadly within the United States, is 3.8%, a latest report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. For 25 years of age and older and a four-year college degree, the unemployment rate today is 2%. That's all in all universities, either online, two-year with a four-year, move to a four-year school. So it's the degree is very important, regardless of where it's coming from.
Are employers missing out, though? Because there are a lot of really smart, enterprising young people, for whatever reason, can't get to college. And there are some people who say that college doesn't necessarily prepare you for a particular occupation. I'll separate out maybe law or medicine or engineering. But there are a lot of jobs that do you really need a college education but for the employer demanding it?
Well, when you look at, as an employer, and looking at the candidates for a job, one thing comes to mind, coding. There's a number of digital natives that have learned how to code without a four-year degree. And we're hearing more and more organizations that are willing to hire technology individuals without that degree because they're constant learners. The key today is to be a constant learner, to go online, to learn on the job. And we're hearing more and more of that not needing a four-year degree. But having said all that, the degree is very important. If you are an employer looking for talent, you not only look for individuals that are willing to grow, constant learners, but also people with strong soft skills. And are they pursuing some sort of degree? Are they, or education, or betterment of their knowledge? That's key today. So we're hearing from employers that they might be willing to take individuals that are on the journey and bring them in today and augment that with some sort of either online learning that they're providing or that the candidate for the job is pursuing on their own.
I'd love to believe that we're a growing trend, but I can't tell you. There's so many applications out there where the first thing you have to do is you have to have a college degree. That's where the start is. You don't have a college degree, you can't even apply. You can't even show yourself. You can't even demonstrate that you have the seriousness of purpose and the desire for the job. So, it seems to me that it is a barrier to a lot of people who might like an alternative route to getting a good job.
Well, I'll be quite honest that the ability to go online and get a degree today, even if you're not employed with the job that you want, it's very evident today that it's easier to, and the entry to an online program for a BS is being offered by so many universities today. So the end game may take you 5, 6, 7 years, but the degrees are very important, and the pursuing of those degrees is easier today than it has been.
What's the financial burden between students coming from other nations going to American school and American students? Do those students from other nations, do they have access to as much aid or as much grants, or can they get student loans, or they pay the full freight?
I'm not an expert in the student loan area, so I can talk about employment and the value of the college degree. But what I'm hearing is that there are grants being given by some universities to the international students. The value, the debt that they hold, I can't opine on that.
What's the general sort of your thought on the broader implications of the scandal that we've just been going through or are going through, which is where people cheat on the test to get into school, or their parents pay money and commit fraud, for instance, to say that they're part of some athletic team that they're not part of the athletic team? What's the broader implications?
Well, first and foremost, it's wrong. Right. Let's just, it's not condoned. Cheating, wrongdoing is never endorsed. So that's not endorsed at all. What we would say is that elite universities, mid-tier universities, be it Division One, Two, Three, for-profit, the degree is very valuable today. Employers are looking at it. You just stated that, it's table stakes to get even the audition. To make it through the screening process to get the audition and the interview. So our advice is pursue the degree. With unemployment at 2% for college degree workers and 25 years of age and older, it's great. Pursue internship experience. Internship or something close to your major is extremely important. And the soft skills necessary today to get a job should be honed. How do you do that? There's a host of ways to do that on campus and off campus. So all tips for the job seeker and the employers, for that matter.
All right. You said that you're not an expert in student loan, but you and I both know that a lot of people are coming out, a lot of families are having just horrible debt from student loans. And with the unemployment relatively low, as you suggested, for people with a college degree, is the amount of money that you would get with the jobs, with the low unemployment rate, with a bachelor's degree, are they sufficient enough to pay off what we, these numbers that we're seeing in student loans?
Well, what we have to take into consideration is what's the path that you chart? Are you taking a really good look as a family, as an individual? Am I pathing towards a goal? What is the outlook for the employment outlook for that career that I'm trying to get into? Am I going to a two-year school? Am I going to work at night to pay for that? Am I going to transfer to a four-year school? Am I doing online? All those things have to be a factor, because not everybody goes to the elite. Not everybody goes to the top tier. So does the debt pay off? If you do it smartly and you do a nice career map with somebody, a trusted advisor, it's really going to pay off for you.
Sir, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
An update on a story we've been covering. The two Reuters journalists who have been jailed since December 17 last year for investigating the mass graves of Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar have been released. Walone and Jaso Oh were freed under a presidential amnesty as part of 6,500 prisoners released to promote national reconciliation. The two reporters recently lost their final appeal in Myanmar's highest court after being sentenced for 7 years in prison. They were convicted for violating the colonial-era Official Secrets Act for allegedly disseminating secret information sensitive to national security. We are hoping to talk to them and will update as soon as we can.
That's all the time we have for today. Stay plugged in by liking us on Facebook at Voice America. You can also like my Facebook page at facebook.com/Greta. And follow me on Twitter at Greta. Thank you for being plugged in.
Thanks for listening to VOA's Plugged In.